Praise God. Florence Chadwick, first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. On the 4th of July, 1951, she attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. Now, the challenge was not so much the distance, but it was the bone-chilling waters of the Pacific. And to complicate matters even worse, there was a dense fog that lay over the entire area, making it impossible for her to see land. So after about 15 hours in the water and within a half a mile of her goal, Chadwick, what she had done is she had given up. And later, she told a reporter, she said, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I might have made it." She was swimming for 15 hours. And she had no idea, but this fog kept her vision from seeing that she was only a matter of, of feet. She wasn't even that far away, or a matter of just a few miles from shore. But because she couldn't see it, she quit. T.S. Eliot wrote, "Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far they can go." I want to read this morning out of Isaiah, or tonight out of Isaiah 40, 28. We're going to read through 31. "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or even weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Father, we pray tonight that you'd minister. We're asking that tonight's service, Father, that you would preach this gospel message through your servant, God. Let it be one that changes a life. Move upon the heart, touch every life here. And we're asking, fill these altars, make decisions, make circumstances change, God. Touch hearts tonight. And we thank you for all that's about to transpire. In Jesus' name, amen. Making it past the fog. I want to talk to you first about the God of faithfulness. Now, our text tells us that God faints not. He does not become weary. Now, you think about that, the Word of God, if you're a study of it at any length, you come to know that God again and again says that He is faithful in the Bible. Psalms 36, for instance, verse 5, "The mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness, it reaches unto the clouds." Reaches unto the clouds. Psalms 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Just in these two texts alone, church, the scriptures tell us that God's faithfulness, it reaches and it continues. So for all those who think they're too far from God to save, again, it says that God's faithfulness, it reaches to the clouds, a lot further than me and you can reach. So to those that believe that God can't reach you, can't help you, I want to tell you God can. For those who think that God has given up on you, well, it tells us that His faithfulness, it endures, it continues through all generations. And so God's faithfulness, what it's telling us, church, is dependable. God is dependable. Can you understand that tonight? Are we on? Do we have an understanding tonight from this text? Amen. Can we agree that God's faithfulness is dependable? You can count on God. You can count on Him to be faithful. Now, I love the way the psalmist describes the faithfulness of God. He says in Psalms 89:33, I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I'll never betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Listen, God will not betray his faithfulness. He will do what he says he will do. This is describing the character of God. Again, God is dependable and he is trustworthy. Listen, God will never forsake you. Someone needs to hear that and someone needs to understand that tonight. Because you struggle with this. God will never forsake you. Psalms 9 and verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. John, 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and he is just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. No matter how far you have fallen in your sin, you can trust, you can depend on God to forgive you. He will not abandon you, and he will always, always be able to endure, be able to reach and continue in his faithfulness. Amen. After you. Listen, in Genesis, God told Noah to build an ark. And what's interesting about the ark, if you read the Bible at any length, especially this story, Bible scholars give a time frame of 90 to 100 years for the ark to be built. It was somewhere between 90 and 100 years. That's how long it took Noah to build this ark. So now remember, God came to Noah and said, Noah, what I want you to do is I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build it this way. Gives him details. And he tells him, once you build it, now I want you and your family to get on it. I want certain animals to get on it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to save you from the flood. We know the story, right? 90 to 100 years later, not a lifetime down the road, God shows back up, sees the boat was built. Noah, he obeyed God. And God, his promise to save him and his family and these animals, we know it to be true because that's actually what had happened. God showed up and says, hey, now I want you to get on the boat. It's time. Floodwaters are coming. Genesis 7, 6, and 10. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all kinds of creatures that move along the ground, male and female, come to Noah and entered the ark, and God had, as God had commanded Noah. You know what this is telling us? Straight from Genesis, straight from the very first book of the Bible, even to the last book of the Bible, when Jesus says, I come quickly, he's going to rapture the church. You know what the Bible is telling me and you? Here's the revelation for tonight. God, listen, God is dependable. God can be trusted. He honors his promises. Another instance, God, he told Abraham, right? God, or actually God gave to Abraham what he had promised him. And in Hebrews 6:13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We know the story about Abraham, how his wife Sarah could not bear children. But listen, even at such an old age, amen, here's Sarah, she births her first child and goes on that Abraham becomes the father of many nations. Listen, I want to tell you, amen, you read the Bible and you will find again and again and again, it's a testimony of God's faithfulness, of God's, listen, enduring promises. God can be trusted. He can, listen, his word can be honored. You know what I love about the promises of God? They're radical. God makes radical promises. His promises are so radical that it actually takes faith to believe them. Think about that. His promises are so radical that you're going to have to, you know, have faith and trust in His promise that they will come to pass. They're just not, simple promises. These are powerful promises. God's promises consist of supernatural help, phenomenal achievements. They're perhaps, in another word I could use, they're miraculous. His promises are impossible for us, but possible for Him. You see, God is faithful to fulfill His word in your life. He is faithful, amen. If He said it, He'll accomplish it. He'll do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Now, I want to talk to you about reaching the fog. God is faithful. We've read just a few of His testimony. We covered that in the scriptures, but God is faithful. He can be trusted, right? He's always faithful, but you know who isn't? Us. Listen, church, me and you, we have a problem with faithfulness. We're not always faithful. Verse 29 and 30 in our text says, "There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint." The faint, those that faint, and to them that have no might, He gives strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know why the text tells us that there is a need for strength, a need for power, a need, amen, for God to help, amen, the youth that fall? It's because that we can faint, we can fall. You see, that's who we are in nature. You see, what we're talking about, church, tonight is faithfulness. We're talking about spiritual endurance. We're talking about something you desperately and I desperately need. Listen, faithfulness is the continued action of your faith. That's what faithfulness is all about. It's the continued action of your faith. It means to persevere, to continue or to endure in God's goodness. You know, actually, Paul illustrates this in a letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." So to be faithful is the ability to keep your faith without compromising it. Now, in our illustration that we opened up with, Chadwick, this woman, she was less than half a mile away in accomplishing a great feat, getting a victory, swimming the English Channel. She was less than half a mile away, and she decided to quit. If there's one thing that this sermon can help you with tonight, church, do not quit on God. Don't quit. You can always trust God to help you. You can always depend on the one that's always faithful. But you see, it's not God that's unfaithful. The problem isn't with God. The problem is us, humanity. The problem lies with us. Listen, to be faithful. Listen, this is what we're called to be. If there was one thing that you can take again from this sermon, do not quit on God. Because to be faithful to one thing has become a lost virtue in our world today. I just read before, you know, I looked over them, even right before this service, about the marriage statistics, and it's still around 50% of marriages end in divorce. And the dropout rate for kids in schools today has skyrocketed, even people who quit their jobs. And what's even more crazier than that, if I can just dig a little more of a hole to prove the point, suicide. Suicide has went up to 35.2% in the United States. 35.2, that's how far it's went up. These are things that are evident today. Unfaithfulness has been cultivated into our society. And people's thinking, it's okay if I mess around. It's okay. It's okay, you know, if I mess around, because all I need to do is get a divorce. It's okay. I'll just move on. It's been cultivated. It's a part of our society. It's become acceptable. It's become a part of who we are. You know what's interesting about all this? Studies prove that we see and experience so much unfaithfulness as children. We see it with our parents. We see it with our schools. We see it with, you know, especially in social media. But we see so much faithfulness as we grow. We carry these experiences in other areas of our own life. Children grow up accepting it's okay to be unfaithful. Now, they might be told it's not. They might be told from time to time. Mom and dad might say, hey, you need to stick to something. But what they experience, what they see with their eyes, what culture tells them is acceptable, is that, listen, it's okay if you're unfaithful. It's okay. I mean, even today with abortion skyrocketing. Think about this. It deals with marriages. It deals with our children. It deals with our lives. Listen, you know what even is so sad about all these statistics? Is that when people get saved, they come into the church. And when we come into the church, after we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to learn how not to be unfaithful, because we're already geared that way. You just can't come in and just be faithful. You have to learn. You have to develop the mindset, cultivate in your heart that you can count on someone. Isn't that a revelation? You can count on someone. You can count on God. Come on, this should be good news for you. This should be good news, amen. Listen, it's like you have to reverse what has been exposed to you, amen, as you go on to grow in the things of God. You have to unlearn, listen, what faithfulness is all about. You have to learn that it's not okay to be unfaithful. You need to learn to be faithful. You need to learn to stick to something and stick with it no matter what. You fight it through. I mentioned before the service today that we had two people in our job decided to, you know, they're just sick and tired of working. And they just walk off the job. For whatever reason, they just walked off. You know, the reason a lot of people feel like quitting is because of the trials that they face while they're being faithful. Now, in our story, this was a lady, and she was less than half a mile. Think about that. To the other side of the channel, but because of the fog, she quit. She quit. How true is this for you and me? We go along in our salvation, and then, listen, we can't see how things can work out. We can't understand. We are not seeing with our physical eyes the end result. And the reason why is because hell is creating a type of fog through trial, through hardship. Hard times, you know, it comes to us all. We all have to juggle hard times. We all have to go and face difficulty. But it's when hell fogs your mind and you start losing focus. This is what gets us to want to quit. And, you know, in the interview, they interviewed Chadwick. She made this comment. I mentioned it before, but she said, she goes, look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have just seen land, I bet you I could have made it. Listen, she had lost sight of land. This is how hell works, by distracting you. Hell will do what it can to cause you to lose focus, to lose sight. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision, you perish. Do you know why you're serving God? Can you still see why? Can you still see the promises, amen, that God has promised to fulfill? Can you still see why you pray for your husband or for your wife? Do you see why you pray over your children? Because you can see God one day touching their life, converting them. Do you still see why you tithe? Do you still see why you outreach and tell people about Jesus? Because I can promise you, if you lost vision for that, you will stop or you won't do it. People come to church and give their life to Jesus because they've seen what hell has done to them. They've seen where life's taken them, and they see the reality, the condition of their sin, and they want to see themselves in heaven. They want to see themselves in the blessing of God. And so we act. Hell wants to fog your vision. I want to close and I want to talk to you about waiting on God. I want to talk to you about waiting on God. Verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, to wait upon God is something that we must cultivate in our salvation. Something that we cultivate in our life, our relationship with God. You know what that word wait is all about? It's interesting. I hear so many ideas about this word wait. This is commonly misguided as to people that are to wait around and mentally faith things to happen. Oh, I'm just going to wait on God. And so they sit doing nothing. You know, the term is actually used of one of a servant or a server, like a waitress. To wait on God means to serve God. It means to serve, like you're giving of service. It's talking about being faithful to God in service. At times, listen, church, we become weak. We're not sinning, but what we're doing is we get tired. We start to faint. We get spiritually exhausted. And listen, your faithfulness to God, to serve God, hell likes to distort it and make you start thinking, why am I doing this? You know, and he wants to again fog or, you know, get you to lose focus. To wait is to continue. It's to serve while you're actually waiting for God's promises to come to pass. It's to continue believing God as you do, amen, the will of God for your life. Because the scripture tells us that he will give you strength. You know why he gives you strength? You don't need strength if you're sitting around. You don't need strength if you're doing nothing. Strength are for those who are laboring, who are continuing to pray for their spouse, who are continuing to pray, amen, for their children, or continue to tithe and believe God, that God is going to give them financial breakthrough, break the curse of poverty in their life. Listen, strength is given because people have spent their strength. Galatians 6:9, listen, it tells us, amen, that faithfulness has its rewards. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so we're called to fight things through, church. The man of God will reap great benefit. God will bless those who trust in Him. He will not forget your faithfulness. Remember Noah? 90 to 100 years. He remembered. He came through, and boy, did he. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." Stand firm in your faith. Listen, your faith is going to be challenged. Your faithfulness to a certain thing, whether that's your job, or whether that's your marriage, or whether that's your ministry. Listen, that will be challenged. It's hell's desire to derail you off the will of God. Hell will attack, come against you. And as a man of God, amen, I'm here to tell you, amen, that you can count on God to give you strength. He can be trusted. He's dependable. Why would God call you to do something that He cannot help you to accomplish? He can. You know, I'll close with this story. Not long after Chadwick, after she gave up less than half a mile from the English Channel accomplishing that feat, not long after that letdown, she actually went for it again. She rescheduled, went for it again. Once more, it was a misty, veil-obscured coastline, and she, again, could not see the shore. But this time, she made it. She swam across the channel, and she kept reminding herself. She said in an interview, "I kept on reminding myself, there is land there. There is land there." Because before she couldn't see, she quit. You know, with that confidence, she bravely swam on and achieved her goal. And you know what's so amazing about that? She not only achieved it, but she broke even the men's record by 2 hours. 2 hours. What we can accomplish, what we can come into. We're talking about God's promises. We're talking about things that God promises. Remember, His promises are radical. His promises they're the miraculous. These are the things that we are rewarded when we stay faithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. Every head bowed, every eye closed.